Stay to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning into the Refresh Radio program today. My name's Bob Arthurs, and we're going to spend the next half hour together talking about God's Word and the fact that He wants us delivered from sin, the consequences of sin, the guilt of sin. He wants us delivered unto a life of holiness and freedom, a life of truth, integrity, and faithfulness. It's not just the things that He wants us delivered us from. It is the things that He wants us delivered to. And so we're going to be talking about that today. But first, I want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you've got some electrical issues, sometimes it's just an outlet that goes bad. Sometimes you might have one of those older electric panels that is not recommended anymore because there's some safety issues related to them. You could go online and find out what brands those are. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but if you've got an older home, like my home was built in 1961, and so several years ago we had to have Wyrick Air come out and they changed out our electric panel for us. Definitely not something you want to do yourself. Let me say that again. Definitely not something you want to do yourself. And so you want to call the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. And the weather has been, you know, cold and it's been hot. It'll probably be cold again, then it'll be hot again. And so if you don't have electrical issues, but you do have air conditioning or heating issues, give them a call and have them come out and get you fixed up so that you can maintain your cool no matter what the weather throws at you. 321-632-9538. So we have been going through this deliverance aspect of deliver us from evil for quite some time now. I went through my notes and saw how long we've been going through it, and it's like, you know, probably people would say, hey, don't spend so much time on one subject and things like that. But, you know, I want you to know the truth of God's Word, and I want you to know it more than just superficially. I want you to understand that no matter where you are, what traps have been utilized in your life, God can deliver you from that. And so we recently had a situation, never had this situation in all of the time we've lived at our house. I still can't believe that we had this problem with all of the feral cats that live in our neighborhood. There's somewhere probably approximately 20 feral cats just on our street alone. And yet somehow we managed to have a rodent that found its way into our home. And I wanted to deliver him from my home. Wasn't paying rent. It was time for him to go. And so there were traps that were set, and he escaped several of those traps. But finally there was one that he was unable to escape from, and our home has now been delivered from a problem that that we didn't want in our house. And I encourage you. Now let me tell you what happened. My daughter was telling me that there was something, but we've never had one of these issues in 20 years, and so I was thinking that it was probably just a gecko or something like that. And, you know, she kept saying, Dad, it's pretty big. I never saw it and never heard it really per se. And so they just kept insisting that they were seeing this thing. And so I said, okay, describe how big. Do you think it's this big or this big? And I couldn't get a definitive answer, so I bought both. And you may be just like I was. You live in denial and think, well, it's not really that big of an issue. Let me tell you, when I caught that thing, it was bigger than I cared for it to be. And didn't want that and all of the other symptoms or afflictions that could come with that thing in my house. And so now I have preventative things up there just in case there's something I don't know about. You know, there's a lot of people that say, well, sin is sin. It's the same, you know, and it is true that all sin has the same solution, and that is we need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for shedding your blood so that my sins could be washed away. But there are different types of sin. There is unintentional sin where you violate the commands of God and you don't realize that you're violating that, and you can repent of that. There's also intentional sin, and from what I have been told by people in the past who have intentionally sinned and thought, well, it's no big deal, it's no different than unintentional sin, they have personally said that the journey back to faith after intentional sin is extremely painful, and it is extremely long. It was a much harder journey than what they had talked themselves into believing. And then there is also sin against our body. And I think there's a lot more of that goes on than we care to admit. I've told the story on here before about an article that I read on a Newswire, and it talked about a Christian individual who posed this question: what happens to a Christian if they intentionally commit, in this case it was sexual sin? And they admitted that they were surprised because it said you will lose your faith. You will lose your faith. She didn't believe them. And then she did. And she described there were some things that she missed about abandoning her faith. But there were also some things that she didn't miss. I want you to know that God wants to deliver us, whether it's a substance, a spiritual, an intentional and unintentional, or sexual sin, no matter what it is, God has the ability to deliver you. So I just want you to know that. If you wonder why we're taking so long, you can be an up and outer. You can be so rich and be so successful on the outside. You can be successful in your career and yet be under spiritual attack and living in spiritual bondage, and nobody knows about it but God, and there's still deliverance for you. It is not just for the down and outers. It's not just for the weak. It is for people who have not asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. They are dead in their trespasses and sin. God wants to come and deliver them unto eternal life. So that's why we're spending so much time. I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And this is a series of sermons that Moses delivered to the children of Israel as he was getting ready to experience his promotion. And so these are his parting words of wisdom, if you will. In verse number 1, it says this: on this side of the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law, saying, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and in the lowland, and in the south and on the seacoast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them and their descendants after them. The first thing that I want to share with you this morning is that God had delivered the children of Israel from the bondage to Pharaoh and life as slaves in Egypt. Egypt was the greatest military power on the planet, and still they were no match for God. They had been used by God to bring a food supply that kept the world alive during a time of famine. And yet, when they decided to mistreat the people of God, all of that favor disappeared, and their ability to be a blessing began to implode. And God heard the cry of the people of Israel. He delivered them with a strong right arm and a mighty right hand. He delivered the people of Israel. But his delivery from there was not the final thing. He brought them all the way, miraculously, by the way, he brought them all the way to the threshold of the Jordan River. On the other side of the Jordan River was the promised land. It was the land that God had promised them when Abraham had lived there. He said, I'm going to take your descendants down to Egypt, but I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. And they stood at the threshold, and they heard the stories of the fortified cities. They heard the stories of the gigantic produce that the land had, that it truly was a land, just as God described, a land flowing with milk and honey. But they also heard about the giants that lived in the land, and they began to view themselves in comparison to the problems, to the giants of the land, and they began to feel very, very inferior, very inadequate, and incapable of going in and being delivered to the promises that God had for them. And so they believed the lie of the majority of the spies rather than embracing the truth of Joshua and Caleb and the experience that they had with God, who had delivered them from the armies of Pharaoh, delivered them through the wilderness, delivered them through the Red Sea. They forgot all about their past experience, and as they stood there, they stood in rebellion to Moses and said it would be better if we went back to our former bondage than die here in the wilderness. It would be better to go back to Egypt and the wonderful leeks and onions and garlics and all of that that we got to partake of there. And I share all of that with you as a preface to this passage in Deuteronomy, because when they rejected going into the promised land, God said, we are going to stay here in the wilderness until every person 20 years old and older that refused to go into the promised land has taken their last breath. And so when it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 5, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain, it was time for the children of Israel to be delivered, not just from their Egyptian bondage, but it was time for them to be delivered from their wilderness wanderings. Too many believers get delivered from their bondage, but they don't get delivered to their purpose, to their promise. They just wander around in circles. And God was merciful. He kept them alive. Their sandals didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. There was still manna every morning for them to eat. There was an existence that they had. They continued to be alive, but they did not experience the fulfillment of the promise that God had made to them because of their unbelief. And so they wandered and they wandered. year after year after year after year, never really going anyplace. And so here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 5, God says, it's time to be delivered from these aimless wanderings. I want to ask you, if you were to put on your spiritual binoculars and looked across time, what does your future look like 6 months from now? What does it look like 10 years from now? You know, in business, they teach you need to have a short-term plan and a long-term plan and probably a mid-term plan. You need to be going someplace. So our mission at Merit Assembly God is to be a blessing, to be blessed, but to be blessed, to be a blessing. And some of that is seed to sow. Some of that is to be so strong and productive that we have faith to share, that we have love to impart. So we want to not only be generous, we want to be strong. God talks about taking us from glory to glory. He talks about taking us from faith to faith. And he also talks about taking us from strength to strength. And so this year, we're really looking to become stronger as individuals and stronger corporately together as a body of believers, so that we can accomplish more for the glory of God. So Moses hears from God and he says, you have stayed in this condition long enough. It is time to move forward. It is time to move towards becoming a person who possesses the promises that God has made for them. And he says, it is not just a promise that he swore to you, but also he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give to them and their descendants after them. So God, through Moses, is telling the people, I am delivering the promise, and I'm going to deliver it through you. This is the time. This is the fulfillment. And it is time to move forward. It is time to break new spiritual ground. It is time to occupy enemy territory. It is a time to be delivered from the fear that paralyzed them in the past and be delivered to faith and a holy boldness and obedience that would set them up for future success. Okay? So God's deliverance is not just him coming and taking care of the enemy and then leaving us in that same condition. He says, okay, I have now made you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Okay? He says, I'm going to empower you by my grace to be able to live the life that I always wanted you to live. Verse number 26, I'm not going to read the whole chapter today. He said, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. That was what they had said in the past. God delivered us from one enemy, and he intends to deliver us to another oppressor. That is not the will of God. So let me address several issues in this particular passage. It talks about they rebelled against the command. Rebelled against the command. We are the only creature on the face of the earth that has been empowered with a free will to be able to reject the sovereign command of God and do our own thing. I want you to know that that is not, I mean, while it is a distinction between us and the rest of creation, it is a gift that is fraught with peril. It is a very precarious place. And he said, and you complained in your tents. Whenever we have an improper attitude towards God, it is going to lead to us being a people filled with bitterness and filled with complaining. Well, why did God do this? Why hasn't God done this? They went so far in their complaints to say the Lord hates us. I shared recently that, one of the lies of the enemy has to do with the character of God and his attitude towards his people. And still today, people believe the devil's lies about the nature of God. He told Eve, God's holding out on you. He knows if you eat that tree, you're going to be just like him. You know what? God wants us to have the same heart, the same vision that he's got, the same love that we have for one another. But he doesn't hate us. He's not holding out on us. He orders our steps and direct our paths. And the steps that he orders for us are in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do not entertain the thought that says, God doesn't love me. God hates me. God doesn't care. God isn't able. Don't entertain those thoughts. The Bible says that we are supposed to take thoughts like that captive and bring them under the authority of the Word of God. Though entertaining those type of thoughts is extremely contagious. If you start entertaining those thoughts, pretty soon those thoughts are displacing the thoughts that you've had in that you know that the Word of God is true, and you say, you start believing the devil's lie rather than the truth of God. And if the truth will set you free, a lie will enslave you. I heard somebody here recently, they were talking about one thing, and they see one thing on a national scale, but they don't necessarily see that the same thing that they're seeing happen on a national scale is happening on a local level. And I just wanted to have a conversation with them, never met them. So I say, do you not realize that the same paradigm that's in operation on a national scale is operation on a local level? Because it happens. So when I shared with our congregation about the possibility of people believing lies, they said, well, Pastor, we don't have that sort of problem in our church. And it's like, I know. But I also know that there are people who believe lies. There's been times when I've been told something. I shared something not too long ago. It came from a pretty affluent source. It came from somebody who should have known. And then all of a sudden, after I shared that, I found out, you know what? That may not have been an accurate statement. It might have sounded good, but it might not have been true. We need the Spirit of God to discern spiritual truth. And we've got to understand that if you are hurting, God is hurting. If you are grieving, God grieves with you, but he doesn't intend to empower that hurt, that pain, that affliction. He doesn't intend for that to endure forever. There's going to come a time where mourning is turned to dancing and where pain gives way to healing. And I'm going to continue to believe that. Couple of times in the scripture, it says, I loathed my life and therefore I gave free rein to my complaint and spoke out in the bitterness of my soul. I always caution people, you know, who are, they're quote unquote outspoken. Well, sometimes you can speak out and speak out from an uninformed position. And so whenever I hear someone that starts complaining about God and his apparent lack of provision, I say, please be careful. Because in doing so, you are literally crying out to God and saying, I could do a better job leading my life than you are. I know you've got billions of lives that you've helped to lead, but I could do a better job with my one life that I have made a total disaster over and over and over again. These people didn't realize they were powerless to deliver themselves from one enemy, and so they complained about this one, and then they bought into the lie, God delivered us. He delivered us from meaningless wanderings after he had delivered us from our greatest enemy, but because he hates us, he's now delivering us to another oppressor, someone else that is going to destroy us. I want you to know that's not the way that God delivers. God delivers you because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't just settle for the deliver us from sin and death, but he wants us to have that eternal life. Say, you know what? I'm tired of wandering around aimlessly. God has a purpose for my life, and it's time that I start being delivered for my purpose. And if there's an enemy that's standing in my way, God's not bringing me to deliver me to them. He's getting ready to deliver the promises that he made to me a long, long, long time ago. God is faithful. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
This is what I really want you all to see.